Miller Lite, the official beer partner of your Philadelphia Phillies, is proud to serve as presenting sponsor of WIP's High Hopes Pod. So whether you're listening to the game, catching up on the latest High Hopes Pod, or at the ballpark, remember, it tastes like Miller time, Phillies fans. Celebrate responsibly.
Jake from State Farm. I'm winning. I finally cleaned my house, so I'm bringing out my new tropical room spray.
Keep winning and create an affordable price just for you by bundling your home and auto with the State Farm Personal Price Plan. It's like your own personal paradise.
Ooh, hey, grab me a coconut water.
Bundling, just another way to save with a personal price plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
You know that thing where you get an amazing pair of shoes at a really great price and want to tell everyone about it? Yeah, so do we. Here at Designer Shoe Warehouse, we'll give you something to brag about. Like the latest styles from brands you love, or the trends everyone's obsessing over, or shoes that make you feel like, well, you. So go ahead, show off a little. Find shoes that get you at prices that get your budget. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today. DSW, let us surprise you.
This is the High Hopes Podcast. High Hopes. It's a bunch of baseball nerds talking about the Phillies on Odyssey and Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Yo. It is another edition of the High Hopes Podcast. Nice, usually a normal yo.
Yeah, I was worried where you're going with that.
Yeah, like I didn't want to go too far. Like they won 2-3, biggest series, biggest season to date. They went 2-3. I'm happy with it. You know, yesterday, disappointing because you know
well, also,
after Harper homer, I was like, wow, we're gonna sweep. This is great.
I mean, yesterday was incredible. I mean, like
incredible
until extra innings happened.
Yeah, well, yeah, we're really
and
well. Let's say until JT Realmuto batted in the bottom of the ninth inning.
Yes. Or Austin Slater existed.
Yeah, what a cat, dude. I mean, you tweeted it. You're dead on. Like, I don't know. And then. You know, obviously smaller stakes, but I don't know how anyone didn't think of Chaz McCormick when that ball got caught.
Like,
it was the very first thing that popped in my mind.
Isn't that sickening? That
for the rest, it's disgusting.
Well, for the rest of our lives, every time we see a catch in that spot, we're gonna think of one moment.
I know.
Which is like, you know, it's kind of like a humbling experience.
Yeah, very. Yeah, the moment we lost the World Series. Yes, that was great. Yeah, I mean, not too nice for Chaz, though. You know, lifelong Phillies fan, he gets to come back and be like, that's my spot, bitches.
Yeah, well, he's a Washington fan anyway.
Oh, really?
He tries to pretend he's an Eagles
fan.
Oh,
this is a great, great take.
He grew up as a Washington
fan. Let's take shots at Chaz. I like
this.
You know what? He deserves it. He ruined our freaking World Series.
If he dropped that catch.
I think they win the World Series.
Well, if he dropped that catch, I wouldn't have brought that up.
I know. Exactly. Yeah, that never would have happened.
Exactly.
Yeah, if he tried to catch, we wouldn't mention his name today.
Exactly.
I'd have been like, oh, remember when Chaz didn't catch it in the World Series and we won the World Series? Yeah.
Known Philly guy, Chaz McCormick, yes, had that happen. But
yes, exactly. Yeah. Philly's own.
Yep. Our guy. I would listen. He would have been a deserving candidate for the Wall of Fame.
Yeah.
He just dropped that ball.
Totally. Oh, my God. He's not deserving, like a lock to be on it.
But instead, he's a me guy.
Yeah.
And
an enemy of the state. And, you know, is what it is.
Joe Carter.
Yeah.
Chaz McCormick.
Yeah. They.
Rondé Barber.
The list is the list, buddy. All right.
Yeah. Kawhi Leonard.
Joe Giravicious. We got them all.
Yeah. Chaz McCormick.
Chaz McCormick.
But yeah, it was.
Jordan Alvarez. I think he probably deserved to make the list.
Yeah. You know what? Again.
Because it was already over by then. You're right.
Well, no, I've completely blacked it out from my memory. Like, people will bring it up to me, or like those, like you're on, like, I have no recollection. I really don't.
Well,
like, I've only seen it twice in my life. And one was by accident, and that was the Phillies yearbook.
Yeah,
fault.
Which was, we've talked about on the pod. You
didn't have to put it in there.
You didn't have to. You could have, we all would have known what had happened. Like, you didn't need to actually show the tank shot it was.
Yeah. And live. But again, I just, even live, I was like,
turn around. I mean, the moment he hit it, we all knew.
No, we didn't all know. Because
okay.
There's a part of me that was like, off the end of the bat?
No way, dude. That was like, it's like a 460-foot home run or whatever, yeah.
Part of me was like, that's a pop-up. No, I'm serious. It was, again, sickening. I would have been the pitcher on the mound pointing.
Who's got it? Oh, you mean it's out of the stadium.
Hey, Rojas might have gotten there.
You're not wrong.
Rojas might have gotten there.
Climbed the wall, ran up there. Not a crazy thought.
Thank you. Yeah. I'm glad we're reliving the Yordan Alvarez home run.
What are we doing?
How
did we get here?
I don't remember.
We won 2-3 against the Giants. What are we doing?
Well, because, again, there's a freaking play in the game. Like, again, game five was way more painful to me than the Yordan Alvarez home run. Like, I will always remember the Schwarber ball down the line, Chaz McCormick and Brandon Marsh at bat.
Yep.
And Hoskins striking out. Yep.
And the defensive play for Hoskins.
Yes,
he had two moments in that.
That's it. But striking out, letting Verlander off the hook.
Yeah. I mean, that Marsh strikeout, that was all time. Was the worst at bat in the World Series.
215.
I know. And then last time we hit the JT strikeout, and
similar stakes.
Of course, I guess if you look at it, it's like it took a guy on his third team in 3 weeks to actually beat the Phillies.
I mean, it was the most.
How long have you talked? We don't curse in this pod, but we talk crap about Paul DeJong. You've always been. Even that 1 year where you hit like 30 homers or whatever, you're like, this guy sucks.
He stinks. It was sickening. I mean, he had more hits yesterday than he had his entire Blue Jays career.
Yeah.
And then there was what was the little outfielder's name that had a couple hits? He had 5 hits in his career heading into the game. And I think he had
Meckler, you talking
about?
Yeah, Meckler. Scores the winning run.
Yeah. It was
not the winning run, the last run, excuse me.
It was a frustrating loss, and what stinks about it is obviously that's like a win at your sales. You come in today, meltdown city, like this team's back, and all of that.
Dude, we are the city's melting down. It's like World Series title. It's coming.
Well, and you know what made me more mad is that should have been a walk off home run by Bryce because of that stupid blooper that fell in the inning before.
I know
to make it 5-2 rather than 4-2.
Like, I know
that should have been a walk off.
Totally true. And honestly, that the game. Like, and we can't get too upset because they won 2-3, but it was a very frustrating game. Like, there are moments throughout. Like, first of all, many missed opportunities and base runners. Like, I'm sorry. Like, maybe it doesn't get overturned. You have to challenge that Jock Peterson play. You have to. Like, it looked like it hit the ground. If Bohm gets on, they score runs that inning. It's a different complexion of the game. Like, they got to hit the next hit. Like who knows where that inning goes? Like, that was incredibly frustrating in the moment. Bryce Harper, we love you. And very rarely does Bryce Harper say something where I have to like stop and be like, Bryce. Normally I'm like, yeah, keep talking forever.
Mostly like, about my city.
Bryce Harper and I guess a lot of the fan base not understanding why that run counted. Like, how long have we been playing baseball, folks? Like, did you hear Bryce Harper after the game? He said he didn't know. He's like, I didn't. Why did that run count? It's a double play. Shouldn't it not count? It's like, Bryce, really? Like, do you not understand like force outs and the way that baseball works? And if the run scores, like, he didn't know. He said he didn't know after
the
game.
Is this the new Donovan timeout?
It's not that different. I mean, it is. It's very different. But still, like, Bryce didn't know the rule. Like,
Who cares? Johan Rojas, like, didn't try to make the play happen because he's like,
No. They got the out and all. It didn't. That's why it's not like Donovan didn't affect anything or whatever. But, Bryce, you're a baseball guy. Like, Yes.
It's all right.
It's fine.
He did have a big home run.
That was an amazing catch by Rojas, too. Yeah. Like catch and throw. And almost had the other. I mean, Rojas really, dude's amazing.
I was shocked he didn't come up with the Jock Peterson one the night before.
Well, the one before, and that was a big, I mean, they won the game, but that was the difference up until that point.
Again, if Angelo wasn't there, Johan Rojas catches that ball.
It was like almost comical that Angelo gets
everything starts falling apart.
Yeah, it was like on brand.
And then Castellanos hits one to the wall, and he's like, "There it is! Come on!" Yesterday was a game they should have won.
Yep. But you could also say the game before is when they could have /lost.
Hey, that's baseball.
That's baseball. You're damn right, buddy. That's why you're here.
Just wise.
Just wise. Just beyond your years.
I'm trying to protect our superstar from the attacks by you. just attacking our superstar.
I'm always going at Bryce.
No, it's classic WIP by you. just trying to run our stars out of town. Yeah. it's just sickening. It's okay. Yesterday, again, it was also, I would love to know their record. The day after a walk-off win.
Oh, it's gotta
I would
be,
love to know
it
their
might
record.
Not have won a game.
I've never seen them. Like, I've never seen them carried over.
How many times have we talked about this on the pod through the years? Oh, this is the moment.
And every time. And as they were going down, they were down 4-0. I just kept saying to myself, Jack, remember the next time that they win a thrilling comeback, that they never win the day after.
Yep.
But it's impossible in the moment. It's impossible to do that.
Well, because we're like, I would be ready to run through a wall the next day. Like, get me to 640, get me to 405. Like, how could they not go out and dominate and be jacked up after that? Like, now, like, no runs through seven. It's like a lock.
Yeah.
You know?
Then we went a little back to back.
Yeah.
A little Schwarbs, a little Trey.
Oh, who's that? Trey Turner. I mean, like, the Trey thing, I mean, it's like, at no point in your wildest dreams did you think that the ovations would happen and the guy would bat 360. More like
with a walk-off.
You hoped it would help with a walk-off with home runs all
Dude,
over the
I
place.
I just wanted him to be okay
at
baseball again.
Yeah, I just
wanted him to
not suck at baseball. Like, this guy doesn't suck, I promise. Like, it is, and he said it. They've talked a lot about what, like, he literally said after that walk-off in the post-game interview, quote-unquote, the ovations turned my season around for me personally. We had Rob Thompson on the morning show yesterday. He said it turned the season around for the whole team. Like,
it's shocking.
I mean, it's what is going on right now?
It's shocking. It's very shocking. But, like, I'm not, like, totally surprised, because that's how I felt heading into it. Like, I felt like he needed it, and I felt like I thought the players would respond well to it as well.
They loved it.
Dude, Brandon Marsh said the other day, and it was like, I was like, why haven't they ever done this before? Brandon Marsh said the other day before the game, he's like, we got a 10-game homestand. It's time to protect Citizens Bank Park.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's what I'm talking about. Like,
yeah, we say that about football. Like, teams always say in football, even like after the Kenny Gainwell, after the fight at the practice, wherever, he's like, yeah, he's like, you ain't going to come in here. We're going to protect our home team, our home field, whatever.
Oh,
like,
the NovaCare, our home turf.
I know, it's so funny. But you hear him football all the time. Like, great point. Like, that should be used for Citizens Bank Park.
Yeah.
Like, that protect CBP because that we dominate.
And that's a rallying cry for the team.
And did you hear what Rob Thompson also said in that answer talking about turning the season around? He also said that he spoke to a coach on one of the teams that came in last year.
Well, he said that like eight times
so
far.
But still, like, again, it's just like 4 hours of hell coming in. Like, it's not just that we can energize the team. Like, there's an impact on the game, Jack.
No.
Yes.
So here's my thing.
Don't you dare.
Here's my thing.
Don't you dare, Jack.
Well, I agree with Rob. Like, the 4 hours of hell and how much we can impact it. And, like, Duvall clearly, like, just, I would love to see Duvall here in a playoff game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it would just be comical. And obviously, Gabe here during a playoff game would just be the greatest thing of all time.
Dude, Joe Giglio texted me that during the game last night. He's like, the first round series has to be the Giants here. He's like, it's the only series that has juice. He's like, imagine Gabe walking for a pitching change in the playoffs. Like, yes. Yeah, I need it.
Yeah, he would be
I need
crushed.
It. I need
Everyone
it.
Gets so worked up about Gabe. Everything he does, people get mad about.
He's a good manager, guys. Like, he's good.
So,
like, he's got you look at those two rosters, like, the Phillies should be 15 games in front of that Giants team. Like, that is a mediocre roster.
Yeah. So, there's two things I think about Gabe now. One, definitely a good manager. Like, you have to give him credit for what he gets out of that team.
Yeah.
But at the same time, just excruciating.
It's the worst to watch.
Like, he's the most annoying.
Dude, every game's going to be an hour longer than it's supposed to be. Like, he is the most annoying manager to watch, but he has to do that to get this team to where they are.
Yeah, although, I mean, their bullpen and starter ERA in August has just been exploding.
Yeah.
And I think that's because he's had to use all those guys.
Yeah.
And uses them a lot and is aggressive with it. But it did make me think about, and I know our listeners were around for it,
yes.
And I know that you watched it, and I know that I watched it because I had to produce those games back when I was producing Phillies games. September Gabe with the 40-man roster.
Oh.
It was the worst. Like, I love baseball.
It should have been illegal.
Well, they
changed the rules.
Literally, they changed it because of Gabe. Yeah. They went from 40-man rosters in September, which is always an insane thing
so
anyway.
So dumb, yeah.
It's like, why all of a sudden for 1 month can you just be like, hey,
bring anyone up.
Let's bring the whole minor
It's like, let's change the way we do this sport all season long for the stretch mode, the month when the teams decide who makes the playoffs. Let's make that one to change the game.
Insanity.
It is.
It's insanity.
It really is.
But Gabe during that time was just so annoying. I mean, there's a game I remember he pulled Kingery after his first at bat for a platoon advantage.
Yeah,
like,
I remember that.
You remember the meltdown the next day? Like, he was just the wrong
game. I mean, I'll tell you that it is rare that you see an opener who gets pulled in the first inning. Usually you put an opener in, you're like, all right, this guy's got an inning or two, right? Like, that's what they do. And then we bring in like a piggyback to face the back of the lineup or whatever it is. Like, he went, let him go three batters. Like, he's like, all right, Bryce up, time to move it. And I get it, but like, he literally put that guy in to pitch to three, like, that you never see that. Like, it's wild.
I know they work, sort of. I just hate
it. I hate it. Oh, it's horrible. Openers. Oh, I hate it. I hate watching it. It is not a good product. We've seen the explosion of people being interested in baseball again. Like, the attendance, the Phillies alone are up 10% or 9.5% or whatever it is. Like it's like 10,000 people a game more or something crazy. Like, there's all these numbers around baseball. Like, it's because the game's moving faster. It's the anti-Gabe. It's bad for the sport, but he does a good job getting the most out of his roster.
Gabe Kapler. Bad for the sport.
I kind of like that. 2-1-5. I will say, one of the funniest things, I know people have talked about this before, but when you're playing the Giants, you really see it. The fact that all their coaches like kind of look like him, that it's like all like these like muscle guys. Like, when the pitching coach and the translator guy come out and they're both like these big jack dudes, I'm like, what are you guys doing over here? Like, what is happening with this team?
See, my problem is that I see Andrew Bailey and I say, that could have been me.
Oh.
Because, like,
yes.
I wore the hat the same way when I was...
Yes, he had a very successful major league career, you know, compared to your average person.
Former Philly. Might be a good grid guy.
He got some teams in there.
No, but I remember I was growing up and I was at a camp and a guy was like, you look just like Andrew Bailey. And now I watch Andrew
Bailey. Oh, and it's always been like, I could be him.
I could have been him.
Your ability to get yourself into the I could have been him mentality...
Yeah.
It's pretty special, man.
Yeah, well.
I was elite.
Yeah, well, I think I have thought about if I was on the modern stuff with, like, driveline and all that, like, could I have thrown 90? Like, I topped out at 86, and that was without really working that hard. So, had I gone back and gone through driveline.
90 might be selling yourself short, buddy.
Could I have touched 90?
You could have gone 95, 96. You could be a major league pitcher, Jack.
Thank you. But I'm here. Very glad to be here.
Are you? It doesn't sound like it after that.
Could have been me. Is there a tear rolling down my eye? Is there a lone?
Just a single tear, yep. Just slowly exactly making its way down your cheek.
Yep. Yep. Freaking, yeah. Found beer in college, lost the cutter, and here I am today.
The rest is history.
You know, most people go to college and they gain velocity because they're working out all the time. I went to college and lost 3 miles an hour.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
Still have no idea.
You gain that other thing that people usually gain when they go to college. Weight.
Yes. Experience.
Sure, that's it too. Wisdom. Let's bring it back around there.
Yep. College credits.
That's good.
Yep. Yeah. It's good.
I like it. Yeah. All right, let's get into some of the stuff from this series. Let's start with Nola, because I think going in, you know, I think you're probably the most surprising thing that happened in this series, Aaron Nola pitching 7 2-run innings.
Our guy.
Fine. Look, you know, I think the Aaron Nola we're expecting came in the first inning, and we're like, oh, here we go. You know, the homer, bases loaded, they get out of it. Second inning, you know, or was it third inning, another homer, a ball off the wall. Like, you're like, oh God. And then the dude settled in and gave him 7 strong, like, was that just a night, or does it give you any hope that there could be a corner turned by a Trey turner?
See what a Trey turnaround?
Yeah, a Trey corner turnaround, yeah.
A Trey turnaround?
Where are we at? Where are you at?
I don't know.
There you go. It was like a yell right there.
I did genuinely feel like they found maybe something new with them. It seemed like, just from watching them, and the percentages were not what I thought they were going to be, because I thought he threw more curveballs on Monday night. And then I went back to his Blue Jay start and he threw the same amount of curveballs. So I was like, oh man, darn. There goes my
Thought I had something there.
Yeah. But just in watching it, it did feel like he used his curveball to set up his fastball more rather than his fastball to set up his curveball. So maybe like they're just pitching a little bit more backwards with him. But when it comes down to that, then he does have the ability to obviously hang one, and then it's, you know, like into the stands.
It seems like every pitch he's hanged this year has been hit to the stands.
Yeah. So the one thing that it did feel differently is that it felt like he threw a lot more curveballs to set up fastballs, more than fastballs to set up curveballs. So I thought that maybe they found a new little plan there for him, and that can kind of get him going. I was just glad that it was nice and refreshing that when he did allow runs early, he didn't avalanche.
Yeah.
And because that's what been one of the problems in this year.
We all expected it. We're watching and expecting the avalanche.
Yeah. And if he can just, listen, he's going to allow home runs.
Yeah. If he can be solo shots.
Give me 3 solo shots, whatever. It just, what's been killing him it's just these innings where runners get on base, then he slows down, and he's thinking about the pitch clock.
Then he gives up a three-run homer or something, and then it's like,
so if he can just be solo shot guy.
You're right, honestly.
You're leading Major League Baseball on home runs allowed, whatever. The other interesting part about Nola now is obviously the Shohei injury stinks. But, like, now, if he can't pitch next year, now I know Snell's on the market, but, like, Nola's going to, his price is just, even with the annoying bad year that he's had, his price is still going to be really freaking high because he takes down innings and mostly does a good job. He strikes out guys and doesn't walk people. So, like, he continues to kind of win.
I agree with you. He will get paid. I don't think it'll be as much as, like, the high end that people talked about. But, like, he'll get somewhere in the mid-hundred millions, whether it's 130, whether it's 150, whether it's 120, like, 120 at the lowest, I think, ultimately. I think you're right about that, especially with the market. It's if, you know, with Shohei not as a pitcher on the market, and who knows, you know, does he need Tommy John or not is obviously part of this, or if they can rehab it or whatever. But, like, I mean, Blake Snell has certainly, I think, passed Nola. But, you know, Snell's history, you know, I don't think – he's certainly not as durable as Aaron Nola.
He's also very hit or miss.
This kid from Japan is supposed to be – pretty awesome.
Yeah.
So super, won the triple crown there and all that stuff. But yeah, that's it. And that's the thing, is it's those three, and like no one even in like, it's like you like jump tiers down. Like there's empty tiers. And the other thing too, outside of the bat, Joey, like there are no bats on the market. Like big time bat. Like it's not just that Aaron Nola is like one of the two or three best pitchers on the market. It's that he's one of the two or three best free agents on the market by a wide margin. So yeah, like that's the thing, is every year, no matter what, like there are going to be teams that have money to spend, that are looking to spend. And a guy like Aaron Nola is going to be attractive to a lot of teams.
Yeah, I'm just bummed out because I thought we were getting Ohtani to pitch here next week.
I know. And dude, that I'm going to the game.
I know. But that's thanks. So
let's take it a step further, because it stinks that we weren't going to see him pitch against the Phillies. It stinks for baseball, man. Like, we're talking about how this has been if you've listened to this podcast at all, they're like, outside of the Phillies winning in just perpetuity in any situation, like, the single thing that Jack and I want most in the world is for people to love baseball. Like, we just want people to love our sport the way we do. We want people to recognize that it is the best sport, is the most fun sport, it's the most dramatic sport, it's the best playoffs. Like we just want people where we are, like, desperately. And this year has been so exciting to see people coming back to the game, and the people in the stands, and, you know, the just like general excitement about the sport. And Shohei's been a big part of that, man. Like, he matters nationally as a baseball person.
Yeah. And the other thing I couldn't help but think about, it's like, dude, everything the Angels try, just
unbelievable.
Just immediately
they're like, all right, we're going all in.
Yeah.
They made more moves than anybody. And dude, they've been horrible since.
They traded like three of their top five prospects.
I know.
For like a faulty idea that they could like make the third wild card.
I know. We knew it in the time. They should have traded Shohei, and now obviously it's proven true. But it was just, it was insane. Like, you weren't close enough to the playoffs. Like, you look at the AL East, there were like three teams, four teams better records.
So it was one of the most insane decisions ever.
Yeah. Shocking, the Angels.
Shocking. But yeah, I thought Nola, like, there's a little glimmer of hope for me that they found something. But again, it's just waiting for the next start and see what happens. But I do think they did change some things up that were interesting.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Washing your dishes before you wash your dishes? Dirty Labs believes going green in the kitchen should not mean doing extra work. Their bioenzyme dishwasher detergent cuts through stuck on food and leaves dishes sparkling without compromising on safety or performance. No pre-rinse, no post-rinse, no compromise. Just powerful cleaning made without harsh chemicals. If Dirty Labs can't make you believe in the power of green cleaning, nothing will. Head to DirtyLabs.com and use code PODCAST to get 20% off your first order.
All right. We'll get to the positives offensively in a sec, because there's a lot, and we'll get to the take back earlier. I know you got a lot to get to, and you've got a big day. Check out Jack. He'll be hosting again today, hosting again tomorrow.
You'll be hosting tomorrow?
I know, but you got a long day. Like, I'm going home. I'm picking up Emily and Zoe, and we're driving to the shore and doing the show tomorrow. So, like, I'm fine. You've got, like, you're working till like midnight tonight or whatever.
More like one.
Straight through. And I know you got a show coming up, so we don't have a ton of time. So we'll get to a couple positives of the offense, but the JT thing. We talked about the strikeout. we've kind of been waiting, you know, for the Toronto series last year. Like, when is he going to kind of turn it? Are you getting to the point where you're kind of like, this is kind of JT this
year? Well, I guess my thing with JT is that, I mean, they're batting him so low.
He's like seventh.
It's like, he's just not killing. Like, he obviously the strikeout yesterday was bad, but it's like, if he can just be okay, like, he's been okay.
He's right? he's what 95% of baseball teams have in their catcher.
Yes, but also you're paying him $25 million.
Oh, I know. Total, I'm just talking. Yeah, that's the issue.
You know, it was probably bound to happen. I'm not totally just freaking out about it because I like the positive step forwards I've seen from almost everyone else. You know, like, I think the offense can survive with this JT, where it's Schwarber's kind of heating back up with in the home run department. By the way, since June 2nd.
Did you see that to the Gelb stat?
Yeah,
what a great stat.
Yep.
Yeah, do what you say.
Only him and Shohei have 20-plus home runs and 50-plus walks. Yep. So
now in Shohei's, all of baseball.
Now Shohei is batting over 300.
Yeah,
but
Shohei's got 44 home runs and the whole thing.
Regardless, whatever. The only fact's going to wave a good story.
Yeah.
But yeah, so like Schwarber, Turner, Harper.
We're going to talk about Harper in a second.
Harper and like, you know, Stott. Bomer, I'm never too worried about. Like, he'll go through a stretch where he's like grounding a double.
But he's
plays.
Always going to put the bat on the ball. Look, last night he should have had the game winning hit.
Totally. Like, so I'm never too worried about Alec Bomer.
I agree with
you. That way.
Same with Stott. I think similar with those guys this year at least.
And Stott before the series, I think, was batting 250 in August, but it never really feels that way with him. So I think they can just survive without JT being the guy that he was last year. And then if you can get anything out of him, great. But he's just not. I haven't felt it like I felt Trey this year at the beginning and how I felt about Castellanos last year because they're batting higher up in bigger spots.
No, it's a really fair point, and I agree with it. And look, like JT did have a great playoffs last year. I mean, he had big hits. He had clutch hits in the World Series. I mean, that game won. Like, JT was the most important player on the team in that game. So I definitely think it's still in him, and I'm not going to say that he's like a disaster for the rest of the year. But – you know, you'd like to see more. See more of JT.
Well, yeah, obviously. Yeah. And is the answer playing Stubbs more? I don't know. Like,
we've been down that road, right?
Is Stubbs going to come on there and bunt? I don't know.
And it works.
Yeah, it works. But it just doesn't. I mean,
yeah.
The
threat of a big hit is greatly diminished when Garrett Stubbs is coming.
So I'm definitely more in the hope camp. It hasn't felt as detrimental as the other guys.
Yeah, I think that. Absolutely jives. Like, it has not felt close to what Castellanos felt like last year or Turner earlier this year. All right, Harper. It feels like, it feels like for the first time since last October, like, that dude's here again. Like, we are watching the player we saw go on the greatest playoff run we've seen in this city, or one of them. He's back. Yeah. Like, he looks like that guy. Even the outs.
Dude,
like,
he hit four balls 110 miles
an hour.
That's what
I mean. Like, that first out, like, that up the middle, like, that was like a... Like, I would have been scared to catch that ball. Like, that was a scorcher, man. The one to left field, like, almost, like, Harper is, like, he's as locked in as he's been since last year.
So, the only time I've seen a baseball, like, that kind of puff, you know, like, we hit the home run, like, you saw that poof?
Oh, yeah.
Only time I've seen that on a baseball field was when Randy Johnson blew up the bird. Like, you know what I mean? Like, like, that ball... It literally exploded the baseball.
Yeah.
It was 112 miles an hour off the bat or something. Like, it's just, he is, I mean, he's just the best. Like, he's just absolutely the freaking best, dude. And he is, it's fair to say that when he gets going, it just kind of, the team is more into it, more locked in because he's like, oh, bleep, we got Bryce Harper back. He's just ascended himself to another level here.
He has. No, he really has. To the point of, like, especially the clutch stuff. And with the playoffs last year, like,
every clutch. Like,
that's what I mean. Great players don't usually come through all the time like this. Like, this is rare for someone to be his level of baseball player, historically speaking, like, a chance to be an inner circle Hall of Famer, like, the guy going to the Hall of Fame. Like, it's rare for those guys to come through this often in those moments. Like, that, it's rare, dude.
It's 100% rare. Yeah. And while Jeter did it was all these little, you know,
a little single, is that? Yeah.
Yeah, this guy's hitting dingers.
Yeah, like, big dongs.
Yeah.
Cut that audio.
He's just, so I said this yesterday on the air, and it's genuinely how I feel. I never thought I would feel the way about a baseball player that I felt about Utley, Rollins, Howard, and Hamels. because I was a kid and like those are my guys growing up.
100%.
I have a childlike excitement about Bryce Harper as
a Philly. Such a good way to put it, man.
Like he, like I, because you get older, it's like sports are kind of trivial, right? Like you know they're just kind of there. No. Like not with that dude, man. I just and I also said this yesterday. Like he's on the Phillies Mount Rushmore already. Like he is on the Mount Rushmore of Phillies. And for an outsider, for a guy who was not like was a guy that we hated for a long time, to for me to be on my Mount Rushmore already, like that's pretty insane. And yeah. I've thought a lot about the last couple of days. Like he's two away from 300 now.
Three
away from
it's
300.
Either two or three. I think it's three.
He's three away from 300. He's gonna hit that as a Philly. He's gonna hit 400 as a Philly. And I can't wait to see him hit his 500th. Like, I hope he does it. Now,
he says to stay healthy. If he stays healthy, he will get there. But, like, you know, with his swing, with yep. as he ages, like, who knows? He's already got back things. And, he's, you know, he's already at Tommy John.
He is going to.
But, like, at the point being that, like, he is on track to do that.
He's going
to
die trying to hit 500.
His arm will fall off.
He knows the history of the sport. He knows, like, the history of what the 500 home run club means. And I've just already started having visions of like Harper's chase for 500. And then it's like probably what, 5-7 years from now?
Yeah, something like
7 years. We're still doing the podcast. And like we're on road trips. We're if he's not doing it here, we're on the road, like taking the and we're chasing Bryce's 500th. He is just turned into such a freaking legend here. He's going to have a statue outside Citizens Bank Park. It's probably going to be Bedlam at the Bank. He's going to go into the Hall of Fame as a Philly. Like, he's going to be in the conversation for second best Philly ever behind Mike Schmidt all said and done.
You're right. When it's all said, I agree with you on all this.
Like, he is, it's the big moments, and it's clutch moments, and it's the hustle, and it's annoying sometimes, obviously, when he gets thrown out at bases.
He's a dumb base runner. We can say it. We love him. Dumb base runner.
But it's all for the good of who he is, which is a guy that just plays, you know, as hard as he can every single night. That home run yesterday, it's like, we have that guy, and we never have that guy. It's like Jalen. It's like, we don't usually have those two kind of guys. And they're like, they're different in many ways, but similar in that aspect. And the biggest difference between Jalen and Bryce is that, like, the Eagles were already an established franchise. Like, they were good before Jalen. They were bad the first year, but that wasn't his fault.
They just won a Super Bowl.
Like, the Eagles were already an established brand. Like, Bryce Harper has turned the Phillies around into, like, people want to come here now.
Totally. After a decade of losing, you know, he came here. And not just players, players. Like, he's played a role in soliciting players to come here and making this a place to be. And then on top of it, like, we joke around, the pandering, all that, but like all this guy does is every time he has a microphone in front of him, he has a chance to speak to the world, tells everyone how amazing we are and how amazing Philadelphia is. That's all he does. It's his whole thing. Like, it's his whole, and it's because it's genuine, because he feels it, but like, he Philly versus everybody. He can't get in front of a microphone without saying Philly versus everybody now, because like, that's his ethos now. Yeah. But that's us too. Like, that's, and I was going to say this before, but like, in my many years on this planet, Jack, you want to talk about age
almost
and wisdom,
50.
Right? Yes, that's what we're saying. Almost 50. Age and wisdom. I've never seen something like this Phillies team and this fan base right now, where the team is giving so much love to the fans, where the team is so consistently saying, like, you make a difference. You energize us. You make it hard for other teams to play here. We couldn't be anything without you. You make, like, I, it is like, I'm like getting like verklempt talking about it, because it's unique, man. Like, it's one-sided. We root for these guys. Oh, go. Like, maybe you'll hear like, oh, our fans travel or whatever. You'll hear that kind of stuff. Like, not this like love affair that is happening right now. Like, it is unique, man. And Bryce is the heart of it. He's at the center of it. Like, that goes on his Philadelphia legend legacy thing too. And it all comes together where this guy is like the athlete of a generation for us. Like, and yet we might have another in Jalen. It is crazy. It's crazy.
And now Harper has his new celebration when he passes home plate.
Mm-hmm.
Like his little like shrug thing.
The MJ.
Ah, MJ. I'm in.
Are you kidding me? I'm so in.
I'm in. Like, he is so present in every moment. And, like, the Bedlam at the Bank thing was a perfect example. Like, first thing he does is turn the dugout and, like, do Phillies crosses. Like, he didn't, like, freak. Like, and it's not, like, Hoskins was like, this is the greatest thing
bat
ever.
On the, like, he spiked his bat. Like, Harper, like
Hoskins lost his mind.
Yeah, and Harper was like, I was born for this.
I was born for this.
That's what it was in that moment.
That's the difference. That's the difference. And that's what great players have. Yeah. I know it's a regular season game.
I'm getting so excited. I'm like getting all like worked up.
Well, because hopefully, obviously, you know, all things like go well.
But yeah,
we're gonna have a home playoff series.
Yeah,
and we're gonna see Bryce and this fan base do it all over.
And that's the thing, to the point where you're talking like a statue and all this stuff. Like, I think to your point, Bryce's legacy in Philly when he's all done will be only positive and only great and Mount Rushmore and all and the statue and all that. But like. Obviously, we know what it does for the legacy if he can win. But even just past that, like obviously, I want to see the Phillies win a World Series, but I want to see this guy win a World Series. Seriously, though, I mean, I don't ever remember a baseball player in this town where I felt like they needed to win it more. Like, he knows, like, you just talked about how much he cares about 500. He cares about his legacy. He cares about being the greatest. He cares about the baseball as a sport. And, like, winning the World Series for this guy would mean everything. And like, I want it for me. Like, I know this sounds crazy. Like, I almost want the Phillies to win the World Series more for Bryce than for me.
Because you've seen.
Yes, exactly. I've won a World Series and this guy, you know, like.
Well, you've won two.
I was not born yet, you jerk. I know that sounds crazy, but like, I honestly truly think I want him to win it for him more than for me.
I agree.
I don't think I'd ever say that about any athlete ever in my life.
I agree.
Awesome.
And that's why, like, it's hard to explain. Like, last year when they were going through it, I was like, this almost feels too fast.
I know.
You know what I mean?
No, because we're like, are we about to win the World Series? What's happening?
Yeah. I barely even know this team.
Yeah,
you know what
you're
I mean?
Right. Yes.
But now, and
especially compared to, like, our one experience winning World Series, it was like steps and gradual, and it was growth with the same guys. And then 07 happened. You're like, oh, like, it felt like it was a progression. This felt like, whoa. Whoa.
I don't know what to do with my hands.
Like Josh Harris.
Yeah. But now it's like, now we had the taste, and now we're having like the regular season moments. Now we're having the fans there. Now we're having like the city behind the team again. We have the ovations, and it's like, now go win it.
Like, now it's like, yeah.
Like last year, obviously, I would have taken a World Series last year.
Of course.
But now it's like, these are our guys.
Well, I think to that point, and when you think about the love we have for them and all that, and then the ovations and the moments we had, like, if, and they have to win the World Series, but if they win the World Series, like, I have no doubt saying this will be the most special sports season of my life for any team ever, period, end of story. Like, because of because of this thing. Because, like, I'll feel like I was
all right, so let me just think about this. What if the 93 Phils won?
Sure. Yeah. Then that would have been it. I don't know if that could have ever been top because I was 12 years old and I had never seen my team win anything. So, like, I don't know. It didn't happen, but in that, like, I doubt that could have ever been topped if I was a 12-year-old boy whose team was horrible his whole life, whose baseball's his whole life. Like, yeah, that would have been,
tops. I'm just curious. 04 Eagles.
No, not close.
Okay.
17 Eagles will be the only one you can compare because it's the first time winning a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And 08's there too. But like,
what about the 2010 Flyers?
Yeah. Oh, good call.
Yeah, you're right.
Right. Maybe 87 with JJ Daniel.
With Leon Stickle.
But seriously, it goes back to what I was saying before. Like, I don't remember this in my lifetime. I don't ever remember feeling more connected to a group of team, like to a group of guys on a team. Like, I don't ever remember that.
Now, did you feel connected in April and May?
Maybe less so. but we had connection because of last year. That's the point.
I'm just messing with that.
I do think the ovations kind of changed everything for all of us.
I think the ovations brought a fan base and a team closer together than any team that we've ever had.
Yes, that's exactly right, man. And I think that's an unbelievably unique and special thing.
Yeah.
So, you know me, I'm a fan.
No, you're
culture.
I
want everyone to love each other. Like, it's a, you know, this is
you want
vibe,
to be one
man.
Big fish concert.
Yes, exactly. Yes, thank you.
You want Philadelphia to be one big fish concert.
And I'll tell you, it felt like it last playoffs. All right. Take back.
Do you think this is now real quick?
Yeah.
I just want to self-reflect.
I love it. Yeah.
Ooh, on you and I on this podcast.
Oh, getting dangerous.
No, right? No, I'm not. But was this last 20 minutes a little over the top for an August?
So hold up. No, because we put qualifiers in there. I said they have to win the World Series.
I loved it. Yeah. I'm just saying.
It was good. But I do think it's like, I really mean it. Like, again, I'm a 41-year-old man, only 41, Jack.
Yep.
Who's, you know, seen a lot of Philadelphia sports teams in my life, and I've never seen this. I've never seen this thing before, so it's pretty neat. All right, take bag coming up in a sec. Shout out to Miller Lite. We love Miller Lite. Honestly, like, so, Jack, you might not know this, but I've stopped drinking anything at home but Miller Lite. I'm talking, like, drinks, period. Like,
look at you.
Like, I've been only drinking Miller Lite all the time, and I may be chugging a few. I'm just telling you, I'm just generally preparing if anything comes up. So I'm exclusively chugging Miller Lights these days.
Good.
Because Miller Lite's the best. But you know, if you don't want to chug it at a bar, that's okay. You can go drink them at a bar. And here's one of our favorites, McSorley's Ale House. Today's Miller Lite Bar of the Week is McSorley's Ale House in Havertown, where you can watch all Phillies games with a $14 Miller Lite bucket special. Go to McSorley, go to the McSorley's Ale House.
Nice.
Shout out to Miller Lite. Love Miller Lite. Been chugging them lately. That's what I'm doing.
Yeah, but I haven't seen any Miller Lite or Phil's ones.
Honestly, it's mostly because of the inconsistency of my tweeting, and I feel bad if I'm not. Because you know what? You're right. I need to change this now.
I just haven't seen one. You know what I mean?
Miller's Lite.
Now, I struggled during the week because, like, I got to do final out usually. But when they win this week, I'm good.
Okay. Good.
But
good.
I haven't done final out, which I'm sorry, but I've been hosting the afternoon show.
Yeah, no big deal.
Yeah, it's no big deal. Well, okay. It's okay.
With networks like Fox News, CNN, MS Now, and more, Sling is the best way to get the news you care about, which is great for everyone. Well, almost everyone.
Where's that dang paper boy? I need my news outdated and rolled up like a burrito. Finally! Now I can read about what happened forever ago.
Get the most important news delivered reliably at the best price. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com/news. See your offer.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to lowes.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in, because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit lowes.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Take back.
So I think it's starting to build. We're starting to get here. But I've definitely envisioned, like, Citizens Bank Park, and it's a big playoff game. Obviously, now we have to do the red rally towels rather than the white rally towels. But, you know, it's a big moment. And, you know, what a tight game. Maybe Stott ropes a double down into the corner. Someone's brought home from third base. Stott's on second. He's freaking out, like, let's go. Phillies across the chest, whatever. And he pans to the crowd. And in unison, whole crowd's doing the big ball celebration.
The marbles?
Yeah. 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 Like, that's what I need in the postseason.
Oh, God. This,
like,
Jack, this is so great. And the whole crowd just doing it back.
Yeah.
It's the greatest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah.
You're very good at these.
Yeah.
Now, here's the
fan
funny
movement
thing.
Guy.
You are, clearly. I mean, the fan movement guy, you might say. But you're very good at the envisioning these things and trying to create them. My big takeaway from it, though, knowing you, is it is just a clear example of how much time you spend thinking about these potential situations that, like, you're just walking around, like, thinking about Citizens Bank Park in October at all times.
All times.
Yeah, I know.
Like, wow. And it's really,
serious.
The moment I started thinking about it was they showed the kid the other day that they started doing it.
Oh, it was great.
He was doing it back.
Yeah.
So if the kids are doing it,
we all got
to then
it.
Everyone needs to do it.
It's acceptable, you know?
Of course. Of course. It's October baseball. Yeah. But, like, just envisioning the whole crowd giving it back to Stottie. Or
Harper, whoever.
I just
keep
thinking
matter.
About Stott. I think it's because of the double off Strider last year.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I'm just envisioning.
Yeah, it was biggest of the series.
It was incredible. It's just like, yeah. I think that's gonna be what's gonna be happening in
I think
October.
That is elite stuff.
Last year was dancing on our own. This year's a celebration.
Yeah, well, we also may have another song apparently.
Believe.
You can see it's catching on. Do you believe in life?
Oh, can't you see all
life?
The boys in the clubhouse after?
Oh, the boys and their overalls.
It. Oh, I'm so in on the rally overalls.
I am too. Dude,
I love the rally overalls.
Garrett Stubbs could come up with any gimmick or shtick for them, and I'm in. Like, you could be like, all right, guys, like, we're wearing buckets on our head. Great idea, Garrett. Go with it. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, the dude he's got a feel for camaraderie.
Yes. Garrett Stubbs could never hit a home run again. And he's simply Never allowed to leave.
Like, lifetime contract.
Lifetime contract.
Dead serious.
Lifetime contract.
Yes, yes.
Speaking of other good camaraderie stuff, the Alvarado necklaces.
Oh, great.
Which is
stuff.
just even.
He's such a creative fellow.
Oh, my gosh.
I really totally. Is, right? Like those animals.
Chicken? Yeah,
the chicken. Like, those creative work by him. Like, in a million years, I could not have done that.
Yeah. So there's just so many little things that this is what teams are made of. You know what I mean?
It's also like, I think we get it particularly giddy about it because like these are all the things that we wanted.
I know.
All these years.
We had to watch the Red Sox with the shopping cart.
I know, you were like, oh, why can't you have that?
Yeah, we had the bamboo.
Yes.
We had the
stupid freaking hats. Like, it was like so forced and like, come on, man. Like, that was lame. And that's genuine and real. And even this year, like, it was like the thumbs up and that wasn't working. They went to the marbles. And, like, it's like it all feels natural and organic and not like stupid and forced.
And stubsy.
Well, that's why.
Stubsy.
The heart of it all.
Is
Garrett Stubbs the MVP of the Phillies? 215-592.
Or is Kyle Schwarber?
Yeah, it's one or the other.
This Schwarber season is so funny, dude.
It's one of the most unique seasons we've ever seen here.
So I think he's going to end up with all this. 40 homers, 100 runs, 100 RBIs, 100 walks, more homers than singles. He might not catch the singles, but he could be close.
Yeah.
And more strikeouts than his batting average.
Yeah, it is an unbelievable year.
It's remarkable.
It's remarkable. And again, if you don't talk about the horrific defense, which we will all acknowledge, he is a disaster out there. Mm-hmm. He's just bad. Like, offensively, that is a valuable player. Sorry to tell everyone. Like, that guy, every single team in Major League Baseball would take that guy.
Mm-hmm. He's just, I mean, again, would I rather him have 22 home runs and be batting 230? No.
No. Are you kidding me? Like, yeah, would I rather him 280 and 35 home runs? Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fine.
If he's one of the best, yeah, he'd be one of the best players in the sport.
Yeah.
He's just a piece of the lineup.
Yeah.
Like, just relax. Anyway.
And again, by the way, for those who missed it, we asked Rob Thompson yesterday in the morning. We had not heard him be this definitive. Richie asked him, like, because we had talked to him about a month before and said, like, you know, you started the season with Turner in the leadoff hole, like, you know, and he gave an answer kind of like, well, ideally Trey makes sense there, the Schwarber thing works, but like, you know, Trey, you know, it could be that type of thing. So Richie's like, what is Trey Turner? You know, he's hitting now, we have to get back to the leadoff thing. And Rob Thompson was like, Schwarber has to get hurt. I was like, so is it lie? He's like, yeah. He's like, Schwarber is our leadoff guy. Like,
yep.
Boom.
It's over.
Thank God. Can we stop?
I know. Speaking of JT, 195 with a 586 OPS at home.
Dude, do you have the road numbers?
Yeah, he's like over 300.
305 or something. He's got like a 931 OPS on the road. It's one of the weirder, like, we talk about the ovations and all that matter for the team. For everyone except JT, apparently.
Yeah.
It's really strange, though. Those are like some of the, like, those, you know what those remind me of? Those remind me of being like a Rocky in the 1990s. Or something, you know what I mean? Seriously, before the humidor.
I thought you were talking about Rocky the movie.
Oh no!
I was like, what are you talking
not
about?
Camry, right?
Yeah.
But like, you know what I mean? Like, but especially before the humidor, and they're still like skewed. But like before the humidor, and before they really tamped it down, like guys used to have like 1,000 OPS in Colorado and like 600 on the road. Like, there were real discrepancies. Like, that's that type of thing. That's a really weird, especially because CBP's a hitter's park.
And maybe that's why
it
hasn't felt as like detrimental. Because he has been so good on the road.
He's been good on the road. I'm sure that's what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it is weird, right? Like particularly weird.
Very weird. Yeah. And the last one is like, can we just, enough with the going down early every single game thing.
Enough. You do this every pod. Like, do you have to make Jack come on every pod? And part of the take back is like, can we stop this? And it's like, no, apparently not. Give me that stat that you just gave, we were just talking about before. What would the comeback win stat?
Well, they have 35 comeback wins.
That's half their wins.
Well, it's like a little bit less than half their wins.
Yes. Yeah. It's like almost half their wins. It's
almost half their wins are well,
no, it's half, aren't they? What are they at?
Yes, they have 69 wins.
Oh, so it's more than half.
Yeah.
It's a little more than half of their wins.
Half of their wins are comebacks.
like no.
It's
no,
every game. It's no, every game, no. Dude. It's like, I haven't really been betting much anymore, but like, just bet on the opposing team to score first.
Yes,
you'll win money.
Yeah, well, and it's even getting to the point where it feels like it's just like the first
built
inning.
In. Yeah, it's built
not
in.
Even that. It's built in the first inning. It's like we're not even gonna, like, it's not like we're just gonna let them score first. We're gonna let one of the first two or three batters of this game hit a home run. And anything. I mean, it's like, that's the way it's going to work.
Yeah. Other than that, Tywin Walker, I thought, that, like, all the starters kind of just seem okay. Like, yeah. Lorenzen, I don't know. I mean, I think he'll be fine. He's just kind of...
He's not that great. He's fine. He's like a four.
This is what kind of Michael Lorenzen was supposed to be before
he doesn't have an out pitch. Like, sorry. Like, he's fine.
Yeah.
Now, does the fact that he threw 124 pitches two starts ago matter?
I would be surprised. I think, look, I
can't say it doesn't play a role.
Of course.
Certainly with these starts. Like, I think he'll be fine, but I think there's a chance he's a little more tired.
I always thought the off days kind of threw him off more than the pitch.
The 9 days off thing, yeah. Which, look, he was way worse after the 9 days off than he was last night, I guess, if that's,
yeah.
That's anything that you can grab onto.
Not too worried about Kimbrel. It was back-to-back days, just didn't have his stuff. He's every time I get worried about him, he bounces back.
I agree.
He's mostly fine. Alvarado, stuff looked a little bit flatter.
Yeah, the speed was there, which was nice to see. The velocity was up there, but...
just a little flat.
He didn't look dominant, but look, he just needs to get there when it matters.
Yes, 100%. So, I mean, again, we've said it a million times, but it comes down to what the starters do.
Yeah.
I think the offense is the most home runs in baseball since August 1st.
Yeah.
And then we talk about the Braves. Well, the Phillies offense has been right there with them.
Yeah.
Comes down to the starting staff. That's been the...
And we trust the bats in the playoffs, too, you know, especially when it matters. I mean, we're talking about Bryce Harper. Like, I'll never see him in a big spot, not expect him to get the hit, you know, that we need. So... yeah, you're right. Especially two down the stretch here with, like, you know, we've talked about it all year, but like some of these dudes have pitched a lot more than they should. Like Matt Strom, to your point with the extra innings, like he's pitched too much. Like Jeff Hoffman has pitched too much. Like these are guys who we're talking about. You want these guys to pitch in big games in September and October. Like they've got to find ways to get these guys a little bit more rest in games that they need to win. So like, you know, what's the best way to do that? I don't know. If you're starting with seven. It would help.
Yeah. Would.
Yeah.
So we'll see. But Cardinals this weekend, they're playing a little bit better.
A little bit better. Yeah. I mean, not the dumpster fire they had been, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, look, if you get a little payback for the Cardinals too, scary, but.
Well, we might have ended the Cardinals run.
Yeah.
So yeah. I guess they could
it's
have
true.
Payback on their
run. Yeah, they should be mad. If I were them, I'd be mad.
Just take 2 or 3.
2 or 3. No, seriously. Yep. Boom.
Just take 2 or 3.
2 or 3. All right, we'll be back Sunday. It's a normal one. Nothing football, right? We good for Sunday? I think we're good for Sunday.
Yeah, I'm at the beach, but I think we're on. I'll just bring my mic to the beach.
Worst case Monday. We'll be back for you,
yes.
Either way. Don't worry.
We'll
the Hype Spot will not disappear. I had vacation last week. No more vacation. We're not going anywhere. We're here with you through the end, and it'll be some, you know, it'll be interesting. What's going to be fun for everyone, you want to talk about hearing me complain about being tired. Once we get to, like, playoff games and I will not sleep for you. Don't worry. Like, if the playoff game happens, we will be recording after it. Like, don't worry. I'm not going to do any of this. I got to go to bed early. I'm going to be tired. It's going to be fun.
Yeah.
Can't wait. All right. If you listen to this quickly, check out Jack on the afternoon show today and tomorrow, and I'll be hosting mornings tomorrow as well. So check us out. Until then, he's Fritz and Seltzer.
This episode is supported by Ring, because at the end of the day, your home is your sanctuary. And with Ring, it's protected. Whether you're across the house or across the country, keeping an eye on things shouldn't be a mystery. With the battery doorbell, you can keep track of your packages and see more of what's happening at your front door in real time. If you want to make sure your yard is safe at night, the Outdoor Cam Plus delivers a wide field of view and enhanced video clarity with Retinal 2K video. And for the ultimate in detail, you can upgrade to 4K cameras and doorbells featuring Retinal Vision. It gives you ultra-clear footage that actually lets you zoom in without losing those important details. The Ring system is helpful every single day. Like a lot of us, most of our shopping is done online. There's a certain peace of mind that comes with knowing exactly when a package arrives while you're busy at work or running errands. It's not just about the technology. It's about the relief of knowing your home is secure. It's incredibly easy to set up, and it gives you that extra layer of protection for what matters most. Your door, your yard, your home, your peace of mind. With Ring, it's protected. Shop cameras, doorbells, and more right now at ring.com.